If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the eternal love that is the all that is that we are. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Facing Our Fears Fearlessly. So, if you're ready, let's take a deep breath together. And each one of you ask to be aligned with your highest divine presence. Sense your presence, that divine being that you truly are, that exists quite transcendental to this body, this world, and all the things taking place in this world arena. You dwell quite apart from all of that. Let's get a sense of that. You are presence, absolute knowingness, divine truth, and certainty. You are the witnessing awareness itself. Never have you ever been born, nor could you ever die, nor could you ever cease to exist. Your true self is indistinguishable from God. You are indistinguishable from the divine all that is. So let's together chant the hue. Hue is a transcendental reflection of the nameless, formless, divine absolute. It's that which is beyond any conceivable name or description. But when we chant hue, it's like a resonance that's reflective of that highest akshara, that supreme state. So let's take a deep breath, and we'll chant hue three times. Deep breath. Hue. And experience the vastness of the presence that simply becomes present when we chant the hue. And now together, let's breathe in God and breathe out love. We'll do that several times. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. And that, you see, is the simplest way to constantly stay in attunement with that divine core of truth that you are, and your purpose here to simply make invisible divine love tangible in time space. So we're exchanging fear for truth and certitude. Of what are you absolutely certain? When you dive deep into the presence, beneath the surface agitations of the ocean of consciousness that we call the world, you will find a deep, deep, fathomless place of certitude. Stay there. Dive deep into that vast stillness, that depth of certitude. That is your own truth, your own divine being. It's never affected by what's going on in the surface of things. It stays deep in that certitude. So, in facing our fears, you know, in truth, we only fear the unreal, the impossible, what never happened and could never happen. I mean, think about it. We're talking about absolutes here. Absolute truth with a capital T cannot change or be modified by anything that happens on the surface of consciousness. So another key, we're only afraid of what we don't know, what we don't understand and love. I mean, think about it. You can't possibly love someone, I mean really love someone, and fear them at the same time. You just can't. True love, I'm talking about true love, is fearless. So love, quite simply, is truth, and fear is falsehood. That which we have identified with as our body is like a bubble floating on the ocean of our limitless existence. And the slightest little puff of breeze and that bubble pops, and we merge into the ocean of our limitless existence. Remember Yogananda's beautiful chant, I am the bubble, make me the sea. Make me the sea, Lord, make me the sea. I am a bubble, make me the sea. And this is the cry of the devotee, yearning to merge in the sense of separate existence with the divine. This is where we're all positioned. And how easy it is to visualize the popping of this illusion that we call bodily identification. If we see it as a bubble and allow it to just pop and merge back with the sea of limitless existence. Sai Baba has said that the only veil, the only difficulty involves the delusion of the mind. Once the delusions of the mind are dissolved, we have supreme Paramananda, supreme atmic bliss. And that's mukti, that's liberation, that's freedom. That's what everybody longs for. They just don't always know that on a conscious level. So I remember years ago, we were in one of many interviews with Satya Sai Baba, the great cosmic avatar, in his ashram in South India. And there was a woman that said, Swami, I have so much fear. Help me overcome this fear. And Sai Baba looked at her and he said, fear? Where is fear? Fear has no form. And so we all are familiar with the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. But I thought about that. Fear has no form. You can't find it because it's false evidence, masquerading as reality, deluding the mind into thinking that it's separate, in a separate body, in a world that's separate and separate from other individuals. Sai Baba also added, why fear when I am here? He was speaking as God. Why fear when I am here? You might say, well, he's not here anymore. He left his body. Oh, you thought he was in that body? That's another one of those delusions. Part of the Maya that comes with a physical form. We think that person is in that form, limited to that form, so when the form disappears, we think that being is gone. Or is gone to some place, and most of us haven't a clue where. I remember the great sage Ramana Maharshi, when he was getting ready to drop the illusion that we call the body. And his devotee said, oh, don't leave us, don't leave us. And he said, don't be silly. Where would I go? So when these bodies pop, these illusions pop, which Sai Baba equates to like a magician's conjuration, like a mirage arising in the desert. You know, when the Atma Buddhi, when the divine intelligence and principle, the divine awareness awakens, The very light of that awakening dissolves the illusion of the mirage, of the false appearance. It's gone, because it never really was there, except as a mental concept. I had a friend that sent me an instant message today, and she was asking for some guidance as to what to do to help her friend who was so afraid. And she said, "Why are people so afraid?" And I said, "Well, the reason they're afraid is because they're unaware of who they are apart from the body and the world. They're totally identified with the physical body, their physical personality, and the world. And fears, worry and anxiety are inevitable. When you self-identify as a body, as an individual personal self, and in a world, well, so you're going to go with that, but to be worried and fearful and depressed and anxious. But we can't really blame people because they haven't been schooled properly. They haven't been taught properly. Religions have failed miserably in this, primarily because the people who are involved, for the large percentage of them, are not self-aware themselves. They have yet to realize themselves as that presence beyond the body. The ones that have aren't found in religions generally. They are the mystics. They may be present in some of the religions, but probably not for long, because the mystic is absorbed in truth and not in dogma and doctrine. So there you have no one who really knows, or as Jesus would describe it, the blind leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both are going to fall into the ditch. And that ditch we call dogma and doctrine and hellfire and damnation if you don't believe a certain way. And that's a big fear for a lot of people. They're afraid to explore the truth because they've been taught to fear truth unless it's rooted in some doctrine, some dogma taught by someone who hasn't a clue what truth is and is just repeating something that they have been conditioned in believing. Now, I'm not saying categorically that applies to all pastors and priests and clergy. Of course not. But I'm just saying, to operate even within those systems, you have to be accepting something that is at best a relative but not an absolute truth. And at some point, you have to have the courage to go directly into your own self. Because each one of us is a living scripture, a living word of God, a living presence divine. Each one of us is the way, the truth, and the life everlasting. And we have to have the courage to face the fears that arise when we go against the grain, when we go against the social conditioning, the religious conditioning, the scientific conditioning, and every other form of conditioning that has placed a limit and a boundary to our awareness, our limitless awareness. So the major root of all fear is ignorance of the truth. The body and the world are but mental concepts. Illusions and not real. Well, rather than face the fears, most people flee into avoidance, denial, and distraction. And there you see the world, with all of its varieties of media and entertainment and things to go see and things to go do. But mainly, it's to get away from the mind that generates this fear that we're alone, we're separate, we're victims of this world with unpredictable cruelty and insanity. I often say, I'm so grateful none of this is real. So grateful none of this is real. So fear is the inevitable result of identifying oneself with the body. So both the body and the world arise as one concept, solely within the mind. Jesus goes into this in great detail in A Course in Miracles. About a lesson 204, 205, 206, and 208. If you read those lessons in The Course in Miracles, he speaks very directly into the illusion of the body. And moreover, the ego mind is so intent on keeping you convinced you're the body that it'll present all kinds of symptoms of illness. So it can say, you see, you are the body. You're suffering pain. You got this whatever. See, you're the body. It's trying to make God a liar. And Jesus said that there is no illness that would not dissolve in an instant if we but realized it has no value whatsoever and no effect. Again, it's another one of these delusions that we allow to run unquestioned, unconfronted. We just let it run and run, life after life after life. Only this is the time to stop it. This is the time to go deeply and realize the truth and be rooted in the certainty of self-awareness. That rootedness in self-awareness will make you fearless, absolutely fearless. What fear can arise in a person who is firmly anchored in truth? So neither the body nor the world exist apart from the mind. So fear arises when we are ignorant of who we really are as pure awareness. So instead, when we identify as presence, as awareness, as conscious I-ness, rather than the body, then we experience boundless existence. You know, God dwells in everybody in the form of I, that self-awareness. The I is shining above and beyond the five senses, and yet related to the senses, sort of like a boss, sort of like a manager or boss that's supervising employees, each with a particular job. Like each of the senses has a particular job. But it's in identifying with the senses because we feel them in what seems to be a body that causes us to identify at the point of sensation. But the senses, as we spoke of in a recent seminar, are also transcendental to the body. They have a quantum expansion potential that becomes subsumed in God consciousness, ultimately. Everything, like, gets dissolved into that which is higher. merges, keeps merging, until one is completely one with that divine spirit. And that's the ultimate coup de grace. That's the ultimate gift of grace that no self-effort can ever bring to pass. That is the gift of the Paramatma, the Supreme Creator. That final merger beyond all of the phenomenal manifestations. So the eye power flows through the senses, enabling them to function. For without that eye current flowing, like divine electricity or fohat, without it flowing through the senses, there would be simply inert matter. It's interesting. Jesus, in A Course of Miracles, speaks about the body as having absolutely no sensations at all. It shouldn't feel, he says, either good or bad, either well or sick. It's entirely inert. It's only the mind that gives it the illusion of vitality, of energy, of sensation. It's just the mind. It's all a mind trip. So these are things that when you're really intent to awaken, you begin to really contemplate. And it's the contemplation of these things, the rumination over them, the exploring and the inquiry into these things that bring enlightenment. You have to get in there and have the courage to look. And when you do, you're going to find limitless treasure. I don't know how anyone could ever be bored. It is so incredible to explore the depths of one's own being. So what are you afraid of? You ever really looked at it? And why? Why? Did you really ever examine your fears? I mean, really examine them. Really confront them and look at them. Why are you afraid? Oh, I think we, you know, most of us share many common fears. You know, we all fear pain, poverty, destitution, illness, disease, loss of loved ones, and ultimately death. I mean, these are common probably to everyone. But fear is actually part of the animal kingdom. It isn't part of the human. Fear is instinctual in the animal kingdom. And I would say, just as faith is the automatic response of someone rooted in true being. Yeah. And faith is not wimpy. I like the Sanskrit word better. It's sahana. It's absolutely unshakable certitude of divine knowing. Far stronger than the word we have in English, faith. So faith and fear cannot coexist in the same heart. One has to go. And, you know, we can decide which. It's up to each one of us. So I wanted to look at some of the things people are so afraid of. I'm going to answer a few of these directly from the Ashtar Command, not that I don't always speak from the command's perspective. But I also have a voice of my own, and the Ashtar Command is one of many, let's say, hats I wear in the cosmos in serving. It's not the only hat I wear. It's one of many. It's a major hat. And so, I will address some of the major fears people are having. Number one, the Earth changes. The Earth changes have been greatly reduced and mitigated since 1980. Big changes since 1980. We were given more decades of grace to kind of catch up and move into more of an awareness and a light consciousness, which we've done. That's a fait accompli. We had the emergence of the Lord Maitreya into the outer world in 1977. Big reason why a lot of the shift took place. We had the presence of the Lord Satya Sai Baba on the planet. And he was actively beginning to call the Americans and then the other nations to him in the last of 64 he started. 69, I came on the scene and went to Sai Baba. And that was a call of America, which America's always kind of been the leader out there. The pace setter, so to speak. Even though it's a very young nation, it's the arjuna, according to Sai Baba, it's the arjuna of the time that we're living in. And so we had a big shift in the 80s. We're now operating at a totally different timeline, a timeline devoid of all of the doom and gloom outcomes that have been prophesied by everybody from the past. Those scenarios will not happen. Sai Baba said when we have fear about a total polar reversal, and we have fear about what's going to happen in the future, and we try to find psychics and people who may know what's going to happen, and we run to this one, and we run to that one. And he says that's sheer mental weakness. That we have proven that we're too weak to grasp the grandeur of the universe, the grandeur of the divine that is manifesting as all, as everything. The grandeur of the plan that's unfolding with an ultimate expansion into limitless bliss and omnipresence and all-knowing. So, again, people often ask, are we going to be evacuated? Is there going to be some big, horrible event that we're going to have to be evacuated by the Ashtar Command? Well, that was a plan a long time ago, some decades past. Tuella wrote a book about it called World Evacuation, I think it was. No, that's no longer necessary. Instead, what happens is that we have time-space adjustments that happen all the time, where you're shifted out of the time phase and relocated without your awareness in most cases. It's just in-out. And since we operate in and out of the illusion of time, that's no biggie for us, speaking for the Ashtar Command. And so also, sometimes people are beamed up in and out so fast that there's no conscious registration of that having happened. We don't like to disrupt the consciousness. We don't like to freak people out. So a lot of these things take place without your ever knowing it. A huge event happened in 1972, according to Drunvalo, when, according to him, our sun went nova. And an artificial Merkaba was placed around this planet and all life forms. I wasn't shown that, but he was, and he has some scientific journals that seem to prove that something big happened, and then it was kind of erased from the scientific memory afterwards. So I'm just saying, so many things happen that are not registered in the third dimensional mindset. Now, the information I've had for years from the Ashtar Command is that none of our volunteer Earth crew members, those who have come in specifically to be of service at this time, they didn't have to, they volunteered, are not going to be left anywhere where there's a devastating event. You might ask, well, what about other light workers? They're always protected. Sai Baba said, not the single hair on the head of any person rooted in devotion to God will be harmed, no matter what happens on the planet. That's a, you know, that's a direct quote, not about whatever happens on the planet, but I'm speaking about not a hair on the head of someone deeply rooted in devotion to God will be touched during the earth changes. That, you know, not be touched is a direct quote from Sai Baba when I was in his presence. He was giving a big talk on one of his birthdays. I think it was the 85th birthday. So no fear of a total polar reversal that would wipe off most of the life on the planet. No fear for the Yellowstone volcano, as they're calling it, erupting. No fear of an alien alien where they come in and try to take over. That's not going to happen. None of this will take place in this current timeline. Nor will California fall into the sea. Nor will it be leveled by a massive earthquake. No, you know, some of our devotees from Los Angeles went to Sai Baba, or from California, I should say, and they were from our Hollywood Center at the time, and they asked Sai Baba personally about the big one. You know, is there going to be a big one that's going to, you know, fracture Los Angeles and put California in the ocean? And Sai Baba said, no, nothing like that. Some small shaking, I think he said, here and there, but nothing we cannot handle. And then some other devotees went from California and asked him point blank, what's going to be the biggest, most major spiritual center on the planet in the years ahead, in the future? And they quoted him as saying Los Angeles. Now, I wasn't there, didn't hear it directly, but I did hear it from them. And, you know, nothing he says can ever not happen. It always happens. Every word out of his mouth is truth, is Veda, is absolutely unshakable truth. So I have to conclude that that's very important. I was reading, rereading the wonderful autobiography of a yogi in which Yogananda said the same thing. He said the same thing with reference to California. There was going to be a great, great, great. Los Angeles would be a great center, spiritual center, and that he and Sri Yukteswar would reincarnate in that area, Los Angeles. And, of course, you know, the Mother Center is here in Mount Washington. I happen to be speaking from the greater Los Angeles area. So I'm just saying, these are great God-realized people, and the avatar, in the case of Sai Baba, well, Yogananda too was an avatar, that have said that California is not going to go into the ocean. It's not going to have the great big one, whatever. But what I've experienced, I experienced with Mount Shasta, and I experienced also with a very large quake that hit California. I experienced it in another timeline on the astral plane. And when I came back, I said, oh, you know, they were worried at one point about Mount Shasta because it was rumbling and looked like it was going to, you know, become active. It is a dormant volcano. And the same thing with you know, California, with the San Andreas Fault. It was, you know, showing, you know, stress and so forth. So anyway, according to some of the information about the presence of Lord Maitreya, that the pressure on the San Andreas Fault line has absolutely decreased through his will. So a lot of these things that we were so afraid is going to happen, according to these great beings, is not. And sometimes those things happen, but on an astral plane or on another parallel timeline that does not happen to be the one that we are on right now, or at least the one that I'm speaking from. So all these doubts and fears and negative speculations and all these people doing YouTubes about this and that and the other thing, all this fear-mongering is simply symptomatic of mental weakness, of allowing the fear-generating ego mind to mess with you. So Sai Baba said that we must face our fear like lions, with boldness and courage, and just get on with your life. Get on with life now. And, you know, we're also taught that we will never be given anything we cannot handle. Sai Baba said the same thing. You know, whatever happens, we'll be able to handle it. Direct quote. So with God, all things are possible. For those of steadfast faith, faith is the coinage of the spiritual realms. It's the guarantee of miracles. In a time when powerful cosmic and solar energies are activating the divine encodements that are bringing us into an emergence as a whole new galactic race, a golden race of Christed ones, or Buddhas, if you prefer the term. But it's bringing us forward into our whole light beingness. It's changing our DNA. It's doing for us what we could never alone do for ourselves. But at the same time, it's also clearing what no longer serves us and our highest good and optimal progression. So much of what is surfacing right now for people, and I know a lot of you are going through changes that are, they vary from extreme headaches to dizziness and weakness and nausea and various strange things that are happening. A couple days ago, my gums flared up. And just overnight, my gums were like, you know, red and pulsating and throbbing and doing all this stuff. So, I put Vibhuti on it and forgot it. And it's like, oh, you handle it, Baba. You're my dentist. And so I just did that, you know, and after three days today, you know, the pain's almost completely gone. But later when I asked him what's going on, he said it was cranial nerves that were being cleared that bring forward that higher energy into the higher consciousness. It's, again, part of that transformation we're going through. Some people are really complaining of headaches. And, you know, we identify ourselves at that point of sensation, but actually it's all happening at a level transcendental to the body. But in our experiential reality here, since we mostly identify with being in a body, you could say we are integrating this higher level of self, of presence. And at least the pain and the difficulties are showing us something's happening. And nobody can deny that something's happening right now because we're all affected. So symptoms vary and may be quite unusual. But all are temporary and will pass. That I can absolutely assure you. It's all temporary and will pass. Also, the heart is being affected. Sometimes people think they're having a panic attack or a heart attack or tachycardia or whatever. Not that you should ignore any of these things if you're really afraid. But I've experienced all that stuff, and it's temporary, and it passes, and it has nothing to do with the physical heart's health. It has everything to do with with aligning with the binary sun that is moving into our system and bringing us into a state where eventually we'll be like the Syrians. We'll have two hearts. We have two hearts now. We have actually a physical heart and a spiritual heart. So it's the spiritual heart that's actually receiving these new energies, but it reflects, you might say, into the physical heart as what might be termed rapid heartbeat. So anyway, in my experience, these things pass. But if you run to the doctor for every little bruise and every little hiccup that you have, you're going to be spending most of your time in the doctor's office, because not only do they not know what's going on with this transformation of consciousness, they have no answers for you. By and large, they will prescribe something that deals with the symptom, but they have no idea the cause. Or they'll try to find some label that's familiar to them to tack on, and then you begin to identify yourself as a person with a disease, and then you've got another delusion to have to overcome. So the best course that I have found is to work with people who really are aware of energy and can clear energy and help you integrate and balance that energy. And usually it's a form of electromedicine, quantum healing, things of that nature. And they work with light and sound frequencies and color to shift the vibratory rate of the different organs and the different systems in the body. And that's what we do aboard ship. So you can also ask at night if you have a problem, something that's going on with your body. You can ask at night to be taken aboard ship, an Ashtar command ship, or one of Valiant Thor's crew members will work with you. Valiant Thor's fleets are called Victor One. There's a Victor One ship that's under a cloaking device on Earth today. And they will take you aboard ship and work with your whatever you need, divine tune-up, let's say, energetic clearing, balancing, whatever. Or you can ask to be taken aboard ship in the Ashtar Command. And same thing, I do that often when I need a little tune-up or a little assistance with whatever I'm working with. And you can do the same. To make sure that you have the right connection, you can ask Sai Baba to take you. To take you there, so that you make sure that you make connection with the right ship, the right person, if you're not familiar with how to do that yourself. Basically, it's just a request. And if you put it in the light for the highest good, you'll probably be fine. But you can ask, someone to escort you to. So all of this disparity and where we're at in terms of this transformation is proper. Not all apples on the tree ripen at the same rate. Otherwise, there'd be too many ripe apples. So you have some people that are very, very old timers in this process that have come back to help people make it through. Some of us have ascended in our previous home worlds, and we're not here to ascend for ourselves. We're here to help other people. And some people, it's their first go at this ascension process, so they're very new and they need a little bit of coaching. But you don't have to worry about it because it's being taken care of in the collective. The command, the masters know every single person. They know every little detail about you. They know you better than you know yourself. You're not alone. We all work together. The space commands and the Ashtar command and the masters, the Great White Brotherhood, the masters of the various orders and lineages. All of these masters work as one. They work with the avatars who are like cosmic guests onto our planet. They work with the Lord Maitreya, who is, by the way, the very, very first being to attain self-realization or individualization, let's put it that way, individualization, which he, I understand, experienced in Atlantean times. So he is like the first fruit of the whole Earth evolution. And the other masters come from all different points of origin. A lot of them come from planets in our solar system, and not all of them are indigenous to Earth. But the Lord Maitreya, I understand, individualized upon Earth and is what we could call a true Earth Earth person, if that's... anyway, close to describing this incredible being. So Earth is the very first non-sacred planet to produce a Christ, the very first one. And a planet becomes sacred when it goes through the third initiation. And that would be the equivalent of what we would call soul infusion in the human being. And our planet Earth is in that process of becoming soul infused. And when she is, she will be also a planet devoid of cosmic evil. Ego, because planets have egos too. And it's reflected, in the state of consciousness of the inhabitants on the planet. So the Earth is working as an entity to master her astral body on a higher level, the same way most people on the Earth are also trying to master their astral body, which is the body of imagination and emotion. And most people are very challenged with their emotions. So as above, so below. As within, so without. So we're seeing all this cleansing and purging and surfacing of the stuff that can't pass through what we would call the sieve of the fourth dimension and into the fifth. We're in the third dimension, transitioning through the fourth now, and have to move now into the fifth dimension. So all of this stuff that you see that's happening in the news has to happen, has to come up to the surface, has to be addressed by the individuals involved, and rectified in some way. It has to be put to rest, forgiven, released, and so forth, so that we can move forward. And I would suggest everybody, as much as you possibly can, slow down. Eliminate all of the unnecessary moving about and traveling and all of your plans and agendas. Kind of table that for a while. Give yourself a break as much as you can and just rest, stay calm and centered, chill. No longer business as usual. This is what's happening, and this deserves your full attention. Also, I suggest repeating a mantra. Pick a mantra. If you don't have one, pick one. And use it instead of allowing your mind to just do random nonsense, random thinking and worrying and all that stuff. Replace worry with repeating a mantra in your mind as you go about the day. Don't let the mind run idle. Otherwise, it'll create problems for you, mischief and worry and anxiety. So just cap that by repeating a mantra. The mantra you select is important because the name of God that you repeat evokes that presence immediately. So if you chant Jesus, 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 you will have the presence of Jesus every time you say his name. With love and reverence, his presence will be with you, and you'll be walking with Jesus, or Sai Baba, or Krishna, or Rama, or whoever your favorite flavor of God is. Ultimately, they're all one and the same, so it doesn't matter. Or if you have an initiatory tone from the traveler, same thing. Repeat the tone in your mind, in the background of your mind, to keep your mind directed into the sound current, so that you don't waste it and just, you know, agitated mentalizing. Keep your focus where you're going. Read spiritual books from genuine, realized masters. And direct the mind, focus the mind on uplifting subjects. Get involved in serving others. Volunteer. Make use of your time. If you're not doing spiritual practice, and get involved in helping other people. Start serving. Get involved in whatever is going on in your community and keep yourself positively focused. This is very, very important because then you don't have time to worry and be self-absorbed. You know, you're too busy, you know, participating in life and making a contribution. So almost all of our fears arrive from samskaras. That would be ingrained tendencies, habits, beliefs, from previous experiences. You know, like we mentioned about consequences in our last seminar, how the consequences of our past actions we're meeting today in the form of what's happening in our life today. Those are consequences that we've set into motion that we're reaping the effects of now. So same thing I would say with fears. We have sometimes these ingrained fears that have followed us maybe for life after life after life. And it's time that we face them, really face them, and dissolve them in the light of higher awareness. So that is something that we need to do because fear, as Jesus has told us in the Course of Miracles, it doesn't exist. It has no form. It has no reality. And therefore, if you ask the Lord to help you with your fear, he says you've already chosen to follow the ego rather than the Christ, because fear is of the ego. And that faith and trust and surrender is of the Christ, the divine presence. So it's always that choice. Are you going to follow fear or love? You know, there's only two emotions, according to the Course in Miracles, fear or love. So every form of negativity is fear. Anger is fear. Confusion is fear. Doubt is fear. All of those negatives, greed is fear. Envy is fear. All of it. And the biggest fear is self-deception. And we deceive ourselves every time we identify ourselves as separate from God, separate from one another. It's fear that builds walls. It's fear that says, I'll take care of myself, but to heck with you. It's fear that divides. It's fear that causes every form of suffering and pain and conflict that we inflict upon one another. And only the choice for love is going to bring our vibrations into the new paradigm, into the golden age, into the age of truth. But to be in that age, to live in that age, we have to vibrate at that high level of unconditional love. And love in a sense of well-being and goodwill towards all people. We've got to table all these issues that divide and separate and cycle on them. They do not serve us, and they will make it impossible for us to sustain a high enough vibration to be able to move into the golden age. So what happens if we don't move into the golden age? You'll recycle into another dream world, another version of the Earth in a lower dimension. You'll have to repeat the whole thing all over again. What a waste. So don't waste time. Don't waste this opportunity. Prema Sai Baba is on the Earth now. We've got the third Sai avatar with us. We've got many of the masters who've externalized and are living in the outer world now. No, they don't point attention to who they are. They are not interested in followers. But they're working behind the scenes with every single thing that we are concerned with now. They are influencing without doing it for us. We have to make the changes ourselves. But they're there as a positive influence and as a mentor anytime we want to turn to them for guidance. And you do that mentally, and hopefully they will be able to, be more visible in the outer world to where we can actually go and study with them or be in their schools and ashrams in the future to take conscious initiation and conscious ascension. That's part of the divine plan. But anyway, just saying, we're not alone. All the masters work together. All of us are just one big family. And we're all here to learn one lesson, and that's unconditional loving of all that exists, and service to all that exists. So we're here to love and serve and awaken to who we truly are and what we are forever. And then, you know, we're anchored in certitude, we're self-aware, and we're fearless. And whatever happens, you know, we just watch the show, enjoy the show. But we identify with being the witnessing awareness, but being the seer behind the eyes, being the listener beyond the ears, being the knower beyond the mind and its thoughts, being the presence beyond the body, beyond the world. And being the love, which is our real identity and our only purpose and our true function. And when we're living in that, we're living in the bliss of God and the joy of God and the peace of God. And that's, in a nutshell, what we're all doing here. Well, I hope this has been helpful. Let's consider blessing the planet each day and surrounding every single living being with the light of the divine and asking that all be blessed, that all have peace, that all have the wherewithal that they need, that all be at peace. And most of all, that all the beings in all the worlds be happy. Because true happiness is union with God. And when you're happy, you don't cause problems for other people. So, if we were happy all the time, we wouldn't be creating all of these problems that we see around us. So let's focus at least on that. And let's go out chanting a nice long Anahi Hu as we send that blessing out to all the beings in all the worlds. Deep breath. Blessings and grace. I don't know.